this Shamik Rishi Prabhuji. So he's going to speak about Srimad Bhagavatam, fourth canto, fourth chapter and first verse. And he's a very senior Prabhupada disciple as well as initiating guru. He has been practicing medicine. He was a doctor. And that gives him a very good understanding of the material, the body as well as the mind. So he can nicely relate the spiritual matters, which are mostly focused on controlling the mind and deep knowledge of all the Vedic scriptures. And he exemplifies Vaishnav Seva. So I would like to welcome His Grace Shamik Rishi Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much. And thanks to all the Vaishnavas who are on this conference call and japa session. Please accept my humble obeisances. Vancha kalpataru bhishya, prapa sindhu bhayavacha, patita nam pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo namo nama. Nama om Vishnu padaya, Krishna prishthaya bhutale, Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti namine, Namaste Saraswate Deve, Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, Pashyatya Deshatarine. So we are reading fourth canto. So just I will give a little glance of what we are reading. So it was like first four chapters, that we are on the fourth chapter today. We will be beginning. So I want to give a little summary of the three chapters that we have read. It was like Swayambhu Manu and Satrupa's description, that is Swayambhu Manu comes from Brahma's body. From the right side was Swayambhu Manu, and Satrupa was born from the left side of body of Brahma. And they had, Swayambhu Manu and Satrupa had three daughters and two sons. We have read this all. So Devhuti, Akuti and Prasuti were the three daughters, and Uttanpad and Maharaj Priyavrat were the two sons. And so Devhuti was married to Kardamuni, and we heard about Kardamuni and Mother Devhuti, and we will go more on what the teachings of King Lord Kapil. We have read that all on the third canto. Akuti and Ruchi, that's where Yajna Purush was born of them, and there was Prasuti, who was married to Daksha Prajapati. And this Prasuti's and Daksha's Prajapati's youngest daughter was Sati, who is now in this chapter, is going to her father's place, to Daksha Prajapati's Yajna. And Uttanpad, you know that he was married to Suruchi and Suniti, and they both had one son. So Suniti had Dhruva Maharaj, and Suruchi had one son, Uttama, who was killed by the Yakshas. And Maharaj Priyavrata was married to Barishmati. So in this way, these are all the descendants of Manu's daughters, because they were very exalted, it's in the beginning of the creation, and how is their life, and we read their names and their descriptions, so we could learn from their life. So this is teaching from Srimad Bhagavatam by Lord's incarnation, that who, and also by his devotees, how they practice. If we see a exemplary action, that is much more than just the words, so we could see the exemplary action, that, and different situations they are created. Now, like Sati does not want to accept the words of her husband, dear husband, who is so exalted, Lord Shiva, and she lives for her father's affection. And what has happened? So those are described in these pages. And so first chapter talks about like this genealogy of Devhuti, and who was born to different. So first chapter that we have read about genealogy table of the daughters of Manu. So we describe about the daughters and two sons. And the second chapter that we read about Daksha was cursing Lord Shiva. So Vidur is inquiring that Daksha and Shiva, they both are very glorious and exalted. How there could be quarrel between the two, and that led ultimately to giving up the life of Sati. So that was Vidur's inquiry, and then there is a sacrifice. So then he tells the story. Maitreya Muni is telling the life story about how the Daksha creates he enters into the sacrificial arena, he performs sacrifices, and Lord Shiva does not stand up. he remained seated because he was in meditation of the Supreme Lord. So there was no, and he is such an exalted personality anyway. He is one of the Purusha avatars, Guna avatars. So he is Guna avatar. He is in charge of mode of ignorance. So there was no need for him to stand. He is also an elder brother of Daksha Prajapati, because Daksha Prajapati is son of Brahma and Lord Shiva is son of Brahma and Lord Shiva is elder to that. So, but now when he does not stand up, he becomes very envious of his position and then he starts cursing Lord Shiva, that Shiva is shameless, he is very proud, rather he was proud. And so he has a monkey face and he is inauspicious, and I just married my daughter because of Brahma's request. So he did not want him to have any share in the sacrificial oblations. So he's in cursing him in that way. And then Nandishwar counter-cursed, and Daksha and his followers. Then Bhrigu Muni also curses Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva, he just leaves. He does not listen to all this blasphemy. So he leaves the place. So this is the second chapter. And third chapter that we just finished, the third chapter yesterday, that is talks between Lord Shiva and Sati, that Sati, she sees that there is so many people are going in Viman and attending my father. So that first sacrifice was for 1,000 years, and second sacrifice, Vajpayee Yajna, that was also for a long period, almost for 1,000 years of that yajna. So Daksha starts another sacrifice, and so there was a tension that did not finish, that envy continued in the mind of Daksha, and then Daksha became proud of him being the chief of Prajapati, because Brahmaji made him chief Prajapati, and Daksha starts sacrifices particularly just to neglect Shiva, just to show him down and not to invite him. So, and many people attended that, and so Sati, she is trying to convince Shiva to go to the sacrifice. So she saw that, because many sages and demigods, they are going with their wives in the Viman and going to that place. So she approaches, Sati approaches Lord Shiva, and Sati says that many are also going. I long to see my relatives, because she has not seen her sisters, mother, father for a long time, and it is a festive movement and festival, then children should go there. So there is no harm in going uninvited, and you should be merciful to your wife. So she is requesting Lord Shiva, but Lord Shiva is reasoning why not to go. And so his reasons were that if one is uninvited, if the host is, and if the host gets disturbed, one should not go. It is a kahava that one should not go to any house, if they don't become happy, or if the rainfall is like gold, still one should not go. If they are not just uninvited, even if you go there, in India people mostly go uninvited, and they are welcomed also. But tulsi tahana jaiye kanchan barse ne, if you avat hi harshe nahi, nahi naino me ne. That when you come, they do not become happy, nor there is any tears in the eyes, just for means they don't show their appreciation for his coming, that you have come to our home. So Tulsidas is saying one should not go. So that was his one of the reason. And a proud person, because he was a very proud, and then so many they become the good qualities become a false in them. So one should not go. And harsh words of the relative, if he says something to you, and harsh words of a relative are more harmful or more damaging than even the arrows, or if somebody is killed by the arrows. So that is a great suffering for lifelong. So your father would not appreciate our relationship with you, because he does not like that you were married to me. Those kind of situation happens many places. And egoistic persons like Daksha is, they envy even the great persons. They don't even stop envying. People envy we because we are here in the material world, because of our envy to Lord Krishna. An elevated person, elevated people respect super soul, not the body. So when they are somebody's standing up, somebody's paying respect, or we say Hare Krishna or Prabhu, it is respect to the super soul, Paramatma in the heart, not to the person. Should not think that he is being glorified, but we should pay respect to the super soul, and in that way also it is respect to the senior personality. Ignoring my words will lead your misfortune. So Lord Shiva clearly said that if you do not take heed from me, if you do not listen to me, then there would be a great calamity. So he could foresee what would happen. But Sati nonetheless, without listening to the good advice of her husband, she just lives out of the... initially she started crying, just like that is the last weapon of a woman, and because of her womanly weakness and affection for the father. Now affection should, father and sister and mother should be there, but because the circumstances were not such that she should just go, because not only uninvited, that is all right for the daughter to go to the parents' place, but when there would be a disrespect of the husband, when he will tell ill about you, such an exalted personality like Lord Shiva, or when they, because he was blaspheming all along, for almost 1,000 years he was blaspheming. So he was very envious to such a person. If there is envy, and he would have created disruption in the family. So why Sati should have gone? But that was her weakness. So Sati leaves Lord Shiva, who would had. Sati gets a cold respect from the Daksha. So these are the what would happen in this chapter, fourth chapter. I am giving a little bit summary of that. And then Sati condemns the Daksha. So the way she was condemning that, who would she is asking then, she is telling in that whole arena that who will help Lord Shiva except envious person like you. You are an anti asadhutma, means you are asadhu, as you insulted an exalted personality. You are not a sadhu. The dust of Vaishnavas destroys an offender, but even your son-in-law is such an exalted personality, such a advanced devotee, Vaishnava Nam Yatha Shambhu, but you are blaspheming him, so you will reap a bad result out of because of that. Lord Shiva's name, fame, orders and lotus feet are all glorious, and since my body was born from a blasphemer, I will give it up. And Lord Shiva is not obliged to follow Vedic rules. So we should not see the activity of a Vaishnava, means Kriya Mudra Bhujya Na Janiye. We cannot understand, neither we should know, like sometimes some devotees may have, like sit in a dirty place, like and they may sit in a place where there is a stool around. Rishabhya wrapped around with his stool on his body. Although there was such a nice smell from his body, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji was sitting in a filthy place. So Lord Shiva just lives in crematorium. But those activities we cannot mimic. But we should not criticize, or we should not think of that. There may be different results. Sometimes some devotee may buy some wet fish and then dry in front of the house to create so much bad smell that others would not come and disturb them in their meditation. So there may be. So what is the reason we may not know? So we should not criticize or see some faults in that, or try to find faults. And even the Krishna does not see the faults in his devotees. Ati chet suduracharo bhajate mamananya bhag sadhu revasa mantavya samyak vyavasthitavasa. Because they are rightly situated, they are devotees, so they will become shipram bhavati dharmatma. They will become righteous very soon, because Krishna sitting in their heart. He sees our attraction for him, he sees our activity, he sees that we long for him, we are serving him. So Krishna finishes all because of the previous attachment. A devotee may commit some mistakes and do something which is against the Vedic principle or against the Vaishnava's etiquette, but Krishna does not see that, and one should not imitate a pure Vaishnava or pure devotee. So materialist cannot achieve the powers of transcendentalist. So my body is a source of embarrassment because Sati was born. So she loudly said in front of this big sacrifice, these things that Sati is condemning Daksha, that you have all these bad qualities. So then that's why she gives her body, because she could not close his mouth, she could not cut his tongue. So she thought that it is just appropriate for me to give up my body. So a great cry arises from the sky because of this. And then what happens? Because Sati was followed by many of the Ganas, including Nandishwar. And so there was a big roar and fighting. Then Ribhus. Ribhus are like a kind of demigods. They are born from Bhrigu Muni, created all these Ribhus. And they drive away all Lord Shiva's attendants. So they go, but then Lord Shiva sends Virbhadra and some other Ganas are coming there. So that is in the next chapter. So this chapter describes that Sati is going, goes to the Daksha sacrifice. So Shiva becomes silent after telling that don't go. But Sati feels very much anxiety. So Lord Shiva becomes silent, understanding that Sati would be destroyed in both cases. If she does not go, she would be destroyed in her heart. She will be lamenting so much. Whether he prevents her from going or whether she went, Sati was anxious to see her relatives, but also afraid of Shiva's warning. Her mind unsettled, she moved in and out of the room. So we will read this first verse. So maybe a couple of verses we will read and then talk about this, the woman's nature and how it is different and why Sati should not have gone. So chapter 4, Sati quits her body. Text number 1. Maitreya uvacha etavadukta virarama shankarah patnyanga nasham yubhayatra chintayan surhadikshdrashu parishankita bhavan Niskramati Nirvi Sati Dvidhasasa. So translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The sage Maitreya said, Lord Shiva was silent after speaking to Sati. Seeing her between decisions, Sati was very much anxious to see her relatives at her father's house. But at the same time, she was afraid of Lord Shiva's warning. Her mind unsettled, she moved in and out of the room as a swing moves this way and that way, like a pendulum of the clock. So purport, Sati's mind was divided about whether to go to her father's house or obey the orders of Lord Shiva. The struggle between the two decisions was so strong that she was pushed from one side of the room to the another and she began to move just like the pendulum of a clock. I will read next verse also. Surhadi drasya prati ghat durmanaha isneha drudatya shukalati vivhala bhavam bhavani aprati purusham rusha pradyakshati vekshata jata vepathu. Sati, so vepathu, jata vepathu, vepathu means shaking. So Sati felt very sorry at being forbidden to go see her relatives at her father's house. And due to affection for them, tears fell from her eyes. Shaking and very much afflicted, she looked at her uncommon husband, Lord Shiva, as if she were going to blast him with her vision. So sometimes that is the woman's way, that they stare at the husband and stare somebody which is goes against their way or their will or their desire, and as if they will blast him by the some light or fire coming from the eyes. So the word aprati purusham used in this verse means one who has no equal. Lord Shiva has no equal in the material world in regard to equality towards everyone. His wife Sati knew that her husband was equal towards everyone. So it is two ways, that there is nobody is equal to Lord Shiva, or Lord Shiva is equal to everyone. He does not see somebody higher or lower. Samoham, Krishna also says, Samoham sarvabhutesho na dvesti na sarvamai priya. That nobody everybody is equal. Nobody is higher or nobody is lower. Everybody is equal in the eyes of the Supreme Lord. But one who surrenders to him, naturally he has more affection towards them. So why in this case was he unkind to his wife, that he did not allow her to go? So that is the question that Prabhupada is putting, to go to her father's house. This distressed her more than she could tolerate, and she looked at her husband as if she were ready to blast him with her vision. In other words, since Lord Shiva is the Atma, Shiva means also Atma, it is indicated here that Sati was prepared to commit suicide. Another meaning of the word aprati purusha is the personality who has no rival. Since Lord Shiva could not be persuaded to give her permission, Sati took shelter of woman's last weapon, weeping, which forces a husband to agree to the proposal of his wife. To make ready, that is another weapon of the woman. One thing is looking staring, another is this weeping at the end, and then sometime telling ill words, like she wanted to just blast Lord Shiva, which, although she did not speak any bad words, but this is out of affection. She was so much attached to that her parents that she did not care that that her father was very much envious to Lord Shiva, and she may not be respected, and they were not even invited. So, but anyway, she wanted to go, and then she goes. So a little bit about, we will talk about woman's nature and how it is different. Prabhupada has given some gender differences about understanding gender differences. So both the boys and girls are being trained to become preachers. So these girls who are preachers, they are not ordinary girls, but are as good as their brothers who are preaching Krishna consciousness. Therefore, to engage both boys and girls in fully transcendental activity is the policy intended to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. Prabhupada allowed both male and woman, and when they saw that they have habituated to live together, sit together, so he started that they should get married. And he married few couples. Three couples were married at same time. So this was his way to spread Krishna consciousness, not that the previous traditional Vedic way that they remain at home, work in the farm, raise children, But the world has changed so much that there has to be some compromise, some adjustment has to be made. So Prabhupada is further saying a man's psychology and woman's psychology are different. As constituted by bodily frame, a man always wants to be superior to his wife. And Prabhupada is giving some wife's role. So woman should always be engaged to assist the man in every respect, in his religious life, in his social life, in his family life. That is real benefit for conjugal life. But if the woman does not agree with the man and the man treats the woman as his servant, that is not good. The man should give the woman all protection and the woman should give all service to the man. That is the ideal life. Family life conceived in the Vedic way of life. So there is a... So what is this difference between man and woman? So this is Prabhupada is saying in these things. Sometimes it is even said that men are from Mars and women are from Venus. So many, many books are there between the gender differences and how they are different. So women may want to express themselves and connect with others. They are more talkative, they want to connect more, but men want to solve the problems. So that is one of the difference. So Srila Prabhupada pointed out that the psychology of both genders is different. In the role of man and woman, practiced in traditional marriages of the past, male and female differences were easier to see and experience. But today, there are so many changes are happening, and in such a fast way that the present culture, that many aspects of the different roles have become blended or blurred. They are working, women are working in all fields of life which the men are doing. Even in the military, even in fighting, even in the officer jobs, even in ruling the country. So whole scenario has changed from the previous Vedic culture. So change is accordingly, like this is occurring so fast that one author called it, its impact on a mind, a future shock. So there is oneness and difference. Our philosophy that Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, which also applies not in only devotional life or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching, and that we are one with God and we are different because we are so tiny and infinitesimal and Lord is great. So that also is there in the family life. A concept appears to be difficult to grasp but can more easily be understood when we use the marriage relationship as an example. In a marriage, we have two people who have committed themselves to helping one another in their spiritual lives for the purpose of raising a family and for mutual support. So that is needed, but there is a oneness in the duty, but there is a separateness in psychology. They agree that each will contribute wholly of themselves to support the other partner materially and spiritually as a couple and as a family, one in spirit and two individuals in harmony for common objective. So first thing that in a marriage that one should understand that we are not the body, but we are the spirit soul. The most basic spiritual concept we understand is that the real person is not the material body, but the spirit soul. That is the fundamental. So it is still difficult to completely realize this thing, that we are not this body. So nevertheless, trying to apply this concept helps us gradually rise above the physical differences between people and subsequently understand that we are all equal spiritually. So one time a female devotee approached to Srila Prabhupada questioning why she was being treated as a female. So Prabhupada is answering, so Prabhupada is asking her that, are you the body? This question also comes up in issues of skin color and different aspects. So again the question becomes, are you the body or a spirit soul? Srila Prabhupada wrote one devotee and told her, if someone mistreats you because of color of your skin, that's their ignorance. If you accept it, then that is your ignorance. So don't accept that I am not the body. What I have the skin color, one may say anything. So from this statement we can see it is a form of ignorance to mistreat others based on color, gender, other bodily conception. So a relationship with Krishna, actually if we see, we are all female because we are all Prakriti. Krishna is the only Purush. Purush means a male or enjoyer. So we are never master or we are not the enjoyer. So whole material world or material maleness, that is only a dress. But it is not a reality. Ekele Ishwara Krishna or Sabhabhratya or Ekele Purush. Krishna is the only Purush. When Mirabai went to see Jiva Goswami in Vrindavan, so Jiva Goswami would not see that she is a female, he was a sannyasi. So then Mirabai said that I heard that everybody is a female, including Jiva Goswami himself in the dress of a sannyasi. So since when you became the male, means the enjoyer, so are you the enjoyer? And when he heard this, then he knew that she is such an elevated person. He asked her to come and then he met and then told that your feeling or your relationship with Krishna is a queen of Krishna, to become a queen, like in a, not in the like what the Vraj gopis are following, that unmarried but they are still, they love Krishna so much because Krishna is the Supreme Lord. So he asked her that your feeling would be fulfilled if you go to Dwarka. So because of his advice, Jiva Goswami's advice, then she went to Dwarka. Mirabai went to Dwarka and ultimately she was practicing her Krishna consciousness, chanting, singing, and ultimately she entered the body of Dwarkadish. So we talked about some differences in the psychology, that we are not the body, we are the spirit soul. And female and male physical differences they define the roles of different. So healthy families mean it's a healthy fortified community. If family are healthy, the community is healthy, the country is healthy. A woman spends several years bearing child. Each child, this does not give her as much time in the early child rearing stages to work outside the home. The husband therefore takes on the major responsibility for supporting the family. So there are different factors that affect the duties and roles of householders, including those are cultural backgrounds, including different religions and ethnic origins, professions, what kind of job, extended family support, whether it is there or not, that will also define the roles. And whether one or both devotees are new to practice Krishna consciousness, then each other has to support and learn and make them advance so they follow the principles of Krishna consciousness. And if there are some children from the previous marriages are there, and how to deal with them, and what is the work schedule. So these things all should be discussed, or all should be learned, or all should be very frankly and openly, so our Krishna consciousness is not hampered. So those family, traditional family roles, it is difficult in this situation in the modern world. So key to the healthy grihastha life is cooperation and promoting loving exchanges, thereby serving the principles of Krishna consciousness. Traditional family roles often worked in the past because the surrounding culture and environment were supportive. But in this traditional family, the husband's primary role was to provide for and protect family members, and often revolved around the formal land. If that could be done, that is very nice. Prabhupada always wanted formal land, live simply, have Krishna consciousness. So live simply and practice Krishna consciousness. Simple living, high thinking. High thinking means Hello? So think of Krishna. So that was the way, but now the roles, everything is become so much change, so much in faster ways. So that is all right. If somebody can take to that role also, that is also nice. That Prabhupada used to say, if there is 1 acre land and there is 1 cow and both are working on that farm, you could produce everything what you need. Extra you could sell, and by the cow would give you so many things, milk, butter, ghee, everything that you could have. So few acres of land and a cow is sufficient, and then you could spend your all the time in Krishna consciousness. But that could not be done in the modern age. There is so much competition, there is so much, we call it advancement of civilization. Although there is no advancement, it is more degradation, because everybody is competing, they are envious, and so whole life is completely changed. But we cannot go back to the previous way of life. It is, we have gone so much far away from the traditional role in Vedic culture. Even Krishna came to teach us the traditional role. Krishna was taking care of the cows, and Balramji was plowing the field with his plow. So that is that he wanted that way, but nonetheless, and also we could learn from Krishna's life that how to cooperatively. Krishna had like 16,108 queens or his wives, but he built the houses for everyone. He expanded into 16,108, and he had produced 10 children of each, and he was doing all the householder work also in the house, whatever is necessary. Means he is going to his kingdom to rule just like a job, but at the same time, like he is a Kshatriya, but at the same time when he will come home, they will all be worshipping, like even Vasudeva and even Yashoda and Devaki, they were worshipping Lord Narayan. Although Krishna is the higher than Lord Narayan, Narayan is an expansion from Krishna, but nonetheless, to show the example that he was worshipping just himself. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead was engaged in his so-called household affairs in order to teach people how one can sanctify one's household life. Although one may be attached to the imprisonment of material existence. We are in the material existence, we are imprisoned in this material life, but by practicing Krishna consciousness, we can become free. Actually, one is obliged to continue the term of material existence because of the household life. But the Lord, being very kind upon householders, demonstrated the path of sanctifying ordinary household life. Because Krishna is the center of all activities, the life of a Krishna conscious householder is transcendental to Vedic injunction and is automatically sanctified. So if we become devotees, then ordinarily what people do go to the clubs, have so many TV shows and meeting together and so many different functions, that is not. Like when we go to India, there are so many relatives, then they all invite you, participate, and it wastes so much of the time in so many rituals and so many ways, eating this house, that house, go that way, meet this way, give this gift or that gift. It close relation, it is fine, but it should all be to Krishna conscious activities that one should participate. Lord Ramchandra is also the house, not only Krishna, is the ideal ruler, husband and son. His wife Sita Devi represents the ideal wife, following the lead of her husband and with great devotion. They are perfect examples like spiritual archetypes, which encourages us to understand the ideals they exemplified. Their example may seem unobtainable, however, we can apply their spirit of devotion to one another. Means Lord Ramchandra, for 11,000 years when he ruled and Sita was banished to the forest or Valmiki Muni's ashram, he would not sleep on the bed, on the royal bed. He will sleep on grass and always think of Mother Sita. Although that is their pastime or leelas, but we could learn from them that how one should cooperate with each other, respect each other, and Lord Krishna would do also household course of like duties also. So that way to complement, and both should go towards Krishna, like to understand Krishna and serve Krishna and Vaishnavas and follow those 5 important aspects of devotional life to live in a holy, means the home should be like a holy dham, surrounding around the Ditis. The Diti worship should be there, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting the holy name of the Lord and inviting guests as devotees so we could associate with them. So those should be the practical way that one can do, and our resolve should to strengthen, not just advancing in materialism, like, but at the same time are earning more and more, but time should be spent in Krishna consciousness, it should be given. So the roles of husband and wife that we can discuss a little bit. So one of the, so that is the main role, the main reason for so many divorces is the breakdown of mutual respect and appreciation. So if we don't respect each other and we don't appreciate, just think, try to find the faults, then naturally it is going to happen to the separation. With the lack of appreciation, there is a corresponding loss of respect. As a result, couples may not act responsibly or with the care needed to carry out their various roles effectively. Many male and female roles are taken for granted, and that is why we emphasize negotiating to achieve clarity on this and other topics before the marriage. So family is the foundation of the society, that is like a mini government. And if the family is good, then the society is good. The society is good, the country, the nation, everything would be nice. So each family member has to be affectionately committed to support the others. This helps the marriage and family life to flow better, as water flows around obstacles to it. So there may be obstacles that will come, but it's just like the water flows around the obstacle, it will go and go to the its own destination. So our destination is the lotus feet of the Lord in serving the Lord in his spiritual kingdom. So we should have a goal of going back home, back to Godhead. When a couple is supportive of one another's material and spiritual goals and united in their shared family mission, everyone benefits and Krishna is pleased with the harmonious family atmosphere. So we should not have a bias brought from our family of origin that I come from such a respected family or rich family or from this caste or this creed, or we should not be really so much, it should not be based. So the roles should be assigned. So there are fundamental basics that apply to both men and women equally. So in a spiritual example that we are giving, then that should be, the role should be very clearly whose role is what. Roles may change also over time, just as we get older or we get some health problems or there is change in employment, and if the children are born and are if they leave the home, so the roles may be different. So we should be flexible enough to appreciate and see the changes. So there are always changes. There are always challenges and opportunities, and we should take the according to the time, place and circumstances, things should work out. We can apply the principles of evaluating the results if the purpose of Krishna consciousness is ultimately served. So that is the success, is that Krishna, that we become more and more Krishna conscious. That it is that for all of us that we enthusiastically use the many examples in scriptures of caring. Krishna is giving many, many examples of wonderful family life in these pages of Bhagavatam. So we should be caring, morality, respect and courtesy molded by Krishna, that he has modeled this Krishna conscious family life and his pure servants to inspire and empower ourselves and others with hope of better outcome. So may we continuously practice these examples in our own lives and continue laying the foundation for a better future. So that way, Mr. Prabhupada says that there is no, in the scriptures, there is no word as diversion or separation, but it is happening so rapidly even in Krishna consciousness, even in ISKCON, that almost over 50, more than even what is happening in the material world. And that is because of not understanding each role, not understanding what is our duty. So if we could take seriously these things and work out together in a loving atmosphere, or consoling to the senior devotees rather than going to psychologist or something who don't understand the spiritual aspect. We have to see the spiritual and material aspect, both sides. Bodily, and there is whatever differences are there, psychology, bodily differences, that should be taken into account. So I appreciate everyone for giving me this chance, and we can discuss more further. But Sati just left, like the basic thing is that Sati should have seen all these things and Lada Shiva could see that is not proper for her to go, but she went there anyway. And the main reason, it is a Leela also, that Lada Shiva is not an ordinary person, neither Sati. Sati, she was born as Parvati from Himalaya. She is the in charge of whole material creation, like she is the Maya Devi personification, in charge of the prison house of this material world. She is superintendent of this material world, and she controls the modes of material nature. And like she is making us dance under her. So she is not an ordinary woman, but they enacted in this way, and Sati one time made the role of her. Like Lord Ramchandra, she wanted to test. That was not. She took the form of Sita, and Lord Shiva would not accept her. That now she became Sita, my worshipable deity. So I would not accept her. So they were living together, but he knew that she had to give her body. Like Lord Brahma gave several bodies when he was born. One he was attached to his own daughter, and he was running, and there were others, some demons, they had some relation with Lord Brahma, and so he gave up that body because it was contaminated, like the Kaksha Prajapati and Diti. So Diti wanted to have a relation at the time, like when the Lord Shiva was moving in the sky and with different demigods, but she wanted to have a relation, sexual relation, with Kashyap Muni, and she was pulling him, and by her womanly affection and ways that she engaged him in this relation, and then there were the born of these two demons, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, came in her womb so she did not accept Kashyap Muni's direction, and nonetheless she pulled him. And then they have created so much havoc in the material world. But she kept, when she knew that they would be demons, she kept in the womb for 1,000 years. This means in the previous ages, they had the power to hold and not to be born. Or even a child in the womb has the power not to come out. Like Sukhdev Goswami. Sukhdev Goswami lived in the womb of her mother for 16 years. He did not wanted to come out, thinking that there would be that I would be exposed to Maya. So he did not wanted to come out. And because we don't listen to Krishna or the superior personality, then we are in the material world. We just remain in the material world. But Bali and Shukracharya, Bali was. He did not hurt Shukracharya. If Shukracharya, anybody who gives up away from Krishna or keeps us is not proper. So Bali was told by Shukracharya, don't give donation of your 3 foot. Just like Indra and Vraspati, that Vraspati gave a garland, a flower garland to Indra, but Indra disrespected. And then he gave it, he put it in the neck of his elephant. And then the elephant chewed it, brought it out and crushed under his feet. And because of that, Indra fell down from his position. Anyway, so how we should respect the seniors, how we should accept their thing. And by description of this family life between Sati and Lada Shiva, we get so many instructions, so many lessons we learn. And so many lessons we learn about the differences, womanly nature, psychology, the work difference, and she should not have gone because of not invited, but we should not go because there was a disrespect of the Lord Shiva, a greatest Vaishnava. So that places one should not go where there is no respect of the. See, like if we go to somebody's house and they criticize devotees or they criticize Krishna, then one should not go to such houses. So we should make our life's firm goal, that our life's goal is Krishna consciousness, to develop more and more. We are in the material world from time immemorial. Now we got this human body, which is a very, very rare body, and both together should achieve that goal. That should be our aim in life. Hare Krishna, now you can unmute and we can discuss some. These topics.
Uh,
Hare Krishna.
Yeah. Thank you,
was
Prabhuji.
The sound Prabhu, was the sound clear that you could hear well?
Yes, yes.
Okay, okay.
So, thank you very much, Prabhuji. It was a very nice psychological discussion of how women and men think and how we can apply in our Krishna consciousness. So I had two questions related to this.
Uh-huh.
So first is, Prabhuji, like in a community of devotees, generally when you all are grihasthas, when one grihastha, like Prabhu, communicates with another grihastha Prabhu for, say, some devotional services or something like that, organizing or doing some seva, then in that scenario, sometimes when a Prabhu is communicating to Prabhu, then it happens that sometimes the wife or the Mataji of that Prabhu, you know, she takes the decision. She is the decision maker, and in that case, the Prabhu is communicating, so he may feel offended or not offended, he may, you know, somehow due to this thing, where the Mataji is taking all the decision making instead of the Prabhu, I have seen the relationship between the Prabhus, it gets a little, you know, kind of strained.
Okay.
So is it correct, first of all, or is it just my perception?
Okay.
If it is correct, how should we deal that? And yeah. Second question I'll ask after you answer.
Okay, yeah, right. So it's a good question. This thing may come in many, many families. But if the decision ultimately, whoever makes the decision, it fulfills your role as a Krishna conscious devotee and serves the purpose of Krishna, or is spreading Krishna consciousness in a nice way, then there is nothing harm. We should not feel envious, or we should not feel that I am dominating and my role, or that I should be deciding. Both should decide, both are free, and we should not think that a woman is just a slave, or we should just treat her inferior, or she cannot decide. She can also decide, both has to do. If decision, ultimately you should see by the result. If the decision is to fulfill our role as a Krishna conscious devotee, and we advance in Krishna consciousness, and we serve the purpose, then naturally it should be honored. Why we should become envious, or why we should think that, why she is interrupting in the way, there is a phone call, I should, the call was for me, and I should be the one who should be answering. Like, say, some devotee is coming in your house, like Chaitanya Charan Prabhu is coming to our home. And even if the decision is of the wife, and I may be very busy, but there is so much cooking and so much arrangement or cleaning, that is the role of, that she does it. So it's okay whether he talk to me or whether he talk to my wife, and they are coming, let him come. It's very auspicious. We will have devotee association, nice sangh, and everybody would be engaged in the seva of a senior Vaishnava or superior Vaishnava who is so much advanced. So why not? So it's up to the result, and we should not feel a dominating role in that cases. The husband's role is to maintain, earn, maintain the family and be peaceful in the family, rather than creating some disturbance because of different nature.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Now your other question.
Yeah. So probably in this, continuing this question, sometimes like you said, women are more emotional. You know, they may feel sometimes offended because of, we take some strong decision, men take strong decision. So in that case, you know, things may not work properly. So, how do we understand, how do we handle those kind of situations?
Yeah. That is true, that women have soft-heartedness, emotionally. Yes, they would be more in emotion or bhav. But you have to see, you have to respect that also. that but if it leads to some disturbance, or if it leads to going away from Krishna consciousness or leaving our path, then the husband should take a stronger step or role, just like Lord Shiva took in this instance, that he should not go. It would cause blasphemy of a Vaishnava, and then it would cause unnecessary fight, and to the extent that she had to give her life. So that at that steps, like Lord Shiva did tell her, but because of her so much affection, attachment, and emotionally labile, she did go. So we are learning from this that yes, in those cases, husband should not go away. But if it is leading to Krishna consciousness, like going to temple, sometimes woman wants and man does not want to go. Or in India, in Kathas, there are more women, although it may be because of the work, but also they are not as conscious as the ladies in the home are. So they should follow and should support her and go. So it's not a question of emotion or not emotion. It is question of what is the decision, where we are going, and is it a part of Krishna consciousness? Man may go somewhere for some party and woman may go to listen to katha. So that is always better. And one should give her the chance to continue her Krishna consciousness. Or it may be reverse, that men want to go to katha and woman does not want to go. Then one should stop. But if that is there is no listening, there is nothing, then what can be done? That's a bad situation. So one should go in a practical way, and what is beneficial for both of their life, one should do it. Not by emotion, this decision has to be made according to Krishna consciousness.
Mm.
What would lead us to what direction and where we will go. So decision is not just superficial. It has to be everything in our life. See, we can talk about Krishna devotees only. There is so much in the material world that you could write down and talking about them, and there is no end ultimately to those.
Right.
That is all about bodily enjoyment. That is
correct.
Different. But we are talking about this. All the talks are for devotees. Bhagavatam is meant for devotees, not for outside people who don't care about. Then their rules and their laws, and they make their own. Sometimes it may seem that they are very happy, and we are devotees and we have so much tension between our family. Why it should be? Because we are not practicing according to the scriptural injunction. Our aim, so we put both foot, one foot is on the material world, one foot on the spiritual world. That does not work out. We should be bringing our foot, which is outside the Krishna consciousness, we should bring it back to, whether with a family life, kiva vipra kiva nyasi sudra kene nai jai Krishna tattvaveta sei guru hai. What I am just saying, that one, whatever may be, they may be family life, they may be brahmacharis, sannyasis, but goal is that we should practice Krishna consciousness. We both should walk together. And so rather than putting emotion and soft-heartedness, we should see that whether that decision is bringing us to Krishna consciousness.
Sorry.
That should be the main motto, rather than that you are a lady, you are more emotional, you don't know what should be done. Respect should be there for each other, and that may be proper. Sometimes out of emotion and soft-heartedness, they may like to invite some Vaishnava, some devotees, or go to function for Krishna consciousness, or bhakti vrakshas, or some kathas which is happening in nearby temple, or inviting devotees in our katha in our own home. Both should cooperate and try to do that. Our time should be spent in Krishna consciousness.
Correct.
Yeah, in my own life, like my wife always, like, she honored the devotees. We used to have even 50 devotees guests. But she will cook, I will go and buy whatever is needed. And both were cleaning together the home, or there for their comfort, whatever they need according to the weather. And we would may sleep even in the basement, but those things has to be adjusted, and it's with cooperation of both. Just one person decision, it is not one person's job.
Mm-hmm.
Who decided that is immaterial? That does not, is not, but what is the decision and how it will affect us? That should be thought out, and how we could work it out around that.
Thank you. Thank you. That's a very good point. We have to focus on the decision. If it is increasing the Krishna consciousness of ourselves or others, then...
Right.
And second question related to this one is, see, many times we are, you know, focusing on taking care of women, you know, give them rest, give them emotional support and everything. But nobody is talking about men. men also need support. And
yeah, they need support. Right.
You know, they are also kind of... So how do we... Because most of the times I have seen only women are being talked about, but not men. So is that because definitely men are more powerful and responsible in a responsible position. But, I mean, what is the exact reason for this?
It's a little bit tough question, and you are right also, that happened. But they do, as a, it may not be the wife, but it may be the mother or some other senior lady, they do support the man because they have affection for their children. So it's not that they do not support. It may be the way of expression may be different, but there is a support from it, from scripture, from their side also. Sometimes wife may not take that role, but a motherly woman or senior Vaishnavi can take that role and can do it. So because we are a social person, so we live in a society, or sometimes there may be a larger family, so there is a support also that comes. There is more affection to a son than a daughter. So there is a support from the mother's side. And a wife may also take that role. It is according to the mutual respect for each other. So if one may be emotionally weak or may be in distress, so wife also supports or mother also supports. So it is not there. But there may be some talks should be done that, yes, both are different, both are individual soul, but each other are there in a married life to support each other. So if that is not happening, then that could be discussed.
Yes, amazing. What's that to be? Just like she's on the floor.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, I think there was someone else was speaking.
Yeah, some in between there was some.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Nandapranam. Prabhuji, in relations with the ladies and the men, on the material platform, the nature, the psyche work, but on the spiritual platform in relation to Krishna, both are explained. No? Because on the spiritual platform, we understand that Krishna is the only Purusha. both qualities. So, although we may be in the male body, our spiritual nature is prayana. So that way we can appreciate the position.
Prabhu, you should hear.
There's a sound in between which is difficult to... So if everybody can mute except who is asking questions, would be appreciated.
Okay, please mute your phone. We are not able to hear.
Oh, you are not able to hear?
Oh, no, Prabhuji, I'm not talking about you. Please forgive me.
No, it's okay. Yeah, but others, if they could mute their phone, so question, answer, and everybody can hear, and we could, that may lead to our better understanding of Krishna consciousness. We are here together, this class, and this just to resolve our situation or to understand it more better in a deeper way, so we could apply in our life and improve it and practice our Krishna consciousness in that way. So, okay, go ahead, Prabhu.
I was sharing that on the spiritual platform. We are all strained because Krishna is the only Purusha. Mm-hmm. So when we when we are reminded again and again on this spiritual platform, then that male ego and female ego, that will not conflict. Only on the material bodily platform, the male ego and the female ego seems to be conflicting. But more and more, if we remind ourselves that we are the servant, and servant is Vaina by nature, Prakriti, you know, we are being Prakriti, whether in the male body or female body, we are Praina, we are female in relation to Krishna nonetheless.
Right.
So that way we can resolve and not allow the male ego or female ego to
come. No, nicely said that that is Prabhupada's main instruction, that we are the spirit soul, not the body. But we are living in the body currently, so those differences are there. But to minimize those differences and understand each other and practice Krishna consciousness, that is the best way. So it's rightly said that we are, that ego does come, but gradually we have to give it away with that ego and practice Krishna consciousness.
Even in the female body, we have the male ego in the material consciousness.
Right.
But for the ladies, because of their psychic nature, it's easier for them to appreciate. Yes, they are the ladies. They have a different role, and men have different. But on the spiritual platform, both are ladies.
Both are
female. Both are Prakriti. So that your conflict of interest will be minimized.
Right.
One point came, this episode is going for almost 1 or 2 months, more than that. The ladies justify that they can go to their father's house even uninvited. That is true. But here the case is they are deliberately not invited.
Right.
So when somebody is deliberately, if there was no occasion, then Devi or the lady or the daughter could have gone. Or if she has some problem, you know, she runs away from the house and goes to the father, and father invites her. Happily everybody shows. But here, specifically and deliberately, they are not invited.
Right.
And she should have definitely avoided going there.
Yes, situation was different here. So Sati should not have gone to her father's house. Yes, that's truly said. Okay, any another comments?
Krishna Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, yes. Prabhuji Dhanvatana.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhuji, my question is a little different. It does concern the marital life, but I would like to ask one question. Suppose if the Krishna conscious grahast couple migrates from India, and both of them become very independent in their thinking, in their behavior, in their day-to-day activities, thereby continuing bhakti. So is that harmful for going back home to Godhead?
No, if they come and they migrate from India, they practice Krishna consciousness, and there maybe their ways may be different, but we follow Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his teaching, when if it is each other supporting, it is not harmful if they, whether they come from India or they are here for a long period of time, it does not matter. But as long as they have been practicing Krishna consciousness in India and here they continue in the same way, and then you could get assistance from temple authorities, from senior devotees, and attending this Bhakti Vriksha and temple activity, that is all right. But I could not really follow your what is harmful, or what is your main, maybe if you could explain to me a little bit.
They become very independent. See, Maya is very strong. Now, when they come in contact with other people, or when they are highly independent, then they start taking independent decisions. So in that case, the ideal grahast life as per Shastras are not followed. So will that hamper bhakti? Even if the counselor and the temple devotees are supportive, you know, some matters are very personally taken. So then that independent nature comes in, they might not consider each other's viewpoint.
Yeah. No, what you are saying is very, very right. It is harmful if one, each other do not understand and cooperate with each other, whether materially also one has to support and spiritually also. So it's coming from India and here, completely changing and becoming more and more independent is not right. One should, the principles, whether it is in India or anywhere, they are universal principles of Krishna consciousness. And that should be followed rather than independently going different direction, different way, thinking differently. Yes, we have our some material duties because we have to take care of the body as long as we have the body. But this body is a temple of Krishna and we should use it in Krishna's service. It is meant to serve Krishna. It is meant to serve the spirit soul, which is we are. What we are is the spirit soul, not the body. The body is an instrument for us, so instrument like we have a car, it should be used to taken care of properly, not that you just neglect that. So completely independentness coming here, because the atmosphere is such that everybody is independent, they should do, and in India there is some more subordination. But whether it is India or America, it does not matter, or any foreign country, what matters is that we should help each other in Krishna consciousness. Bodily roles and psychology may be different, but that should be kept aside and go on with our duties to fulfill our needs of Krishna consciousness.
Okay. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Prabhuji, could you explain that question? I couldn't get the answer question properly.
Prabhuji, मैं हिंदी में आपसे बोलूँगा. इंडिया में आते से ही, इंडिया से यहाँ आते से ही, लेडीज का जैसा रोल जैसा है वो completely different thought, psychology is different. जैसे कि पर लगा है ना यहाँ.
Please mute your phone. It is difficult to hear.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
ओके तो यहाँ आने पर साइकोलॉजी बदल जाती है बिकॉज सो मेनी पीपल दे सी सराउंडिंग आर कम्प्लीटली इंडिपेंडेंट इंडिपेंडेंट थॉट्स इंडिपेंडेंट टेकिंग केयर इन सो बट इफ दे कंटिन्यू द थीम ऑफ कृष्णा कॉन्शियसनेस दैट वेदर इट इज इंडिपेंडेंट थिंकिंग दैट इज नथिंग रॉन्ग इंडिपेंडेंट थिंकिंग मे बी देयर बट व्हाट इट इज इट लीडिंग टू फाइट्स Is it leading to differences? Is it leading to that your role as wife and husband are changing? Then there is a problem. But as long as cooperation, love, affection, service to Krishna, if it is there, if it is the main motto, and even if it is independently taught, Prabhupada liked independency. There is why nobody is a slave. It should be they are both are equal, both are in the so wish. But harmony should be there. Affection for each other there, service mood should be there. So those things and devotion to Krishna has to be there. And whole life should be molded in such a way that we are walking or going towards Krishna, towards more our life is more purified. Because everybody is contaminated in the material world. Everybody has problems. But those problems should be solved gracefully. And if we cannot understand ourselves or between, then we could talk to somebody. Goyam akhyati prachyati, that you could ask in confidence to somebody whom you trust and then try to resolve this problem rather than continue and then keeping differences in the life and then it will ultimately lead to separation or lead to some more problems.
Mm-hmm. But can we say, Prabhuji, that although we have the free will, ultimately, or in any case, in any circumstances, any time, we are not independent. So that understanding, if can be reinstated properly, and even mm-hmm. with the use of free will, we can appreciate our dependence on each other.
Right. Free will is not that to be not to be misused. Free will is either you want to just go in Maya or want to take to Krishna consciousness. So free will should never be misused. Free will is there to choose what we should choose. But now we are talking about only devotees. So that free will is to just how we could increase our devotional service. How we could love more Krishna. How we could make our consciousness that we think of Krishna all the time. So that should be the topic rather than free will to use it for material purpose. Then you will go downhill with that. So free will should be utilized to that we turn to either. Free will has only two roles. Either you practice Krishna consciousness, there is so much background noise
Yes. Regarding the independent thinking, because we are not independent. That's the point I was trying to say.
Right.
Use of the free will, materially or spiritually, but we are still dependent beings. And that's why in Chaitanya Chaitanya, although we in Bhagavatam, we hear that Lord Shiva paid, he was meditating on the super soul, so he didn't need to recognize. Because if one is absorbed in Krishna, what is his fault? That's ultimate achievement. But Chaitanya Chaitanya says that Jivera Krishna Adhishtan Jani, Jive Samman Divo Jani Krishna Adhishtan. We respect the every soul because the super soul Krishna resides in the heart of that soul. And so when we pay the obeisances, not only the Paramatma is paid obeisances, but also the person, the soul. So it's not that we are ignoring the person. Even if we think, oh, I'm paying obeisances to the super soul. We are very personal in our relations and in our devotional attitude. So we have to also appreciate the person is also along with the super soul.
Hare Krishna. Right. Rightly said. So that is fine. We should not misuse the independence that has been given. We are not slaves, but freely will. That's what Krishna wants. We are not robots. We are have a person, we are as a spirit soul, is independence is there, but that should be used, that should not be misused. But if Krishna would not give us independence, then, see, love means independently by our heart we are trying to serve Krishna. He is not forcing us to do that. Krishna never forces us. But by in a human life, by discriminating what is good, what is bad, what would lead, why I should be Krishna conscious, all these things to be understood. So independency will always remain. Even in the spiritual kingdom, we are completely independent. There we do, and here also we should do by our own heart and by our own emotions, we should serve Krishna. But serving Him does not lose our independency. That is always there. Otherwise, we are just as stones or as just like independence is lesser and lesser as you go to, like, say, a stone or mountain or river. Although there is some independence is there, but that is reduced almost to zero. But as we go higher and higher, independency or the free will is more, and it exercises most in the spiritual kingdom. We feel that, yes, we are independent country, independent nation, but still we are dependent on so many things. We have no right, what family to born, what place to born, who will be our parents, who would be our wife or children, or who will come, when I will born, when I will die, what kind of education, what kind of wealth. We have no independence on many things. But still that minute independence is always there. Krishna gives that because Krishna is Swarat, are completely independent. Swarat means completely, and we are also tiny part of Him. So we have a tiny independence and we should use it properly. Like you have a knife, you could cut somebody's throat and you could cut fruit and offer to Krishna. So it depends on you. That decision in human form is much more evolved, independency, than in the animals. They don't understand, they cannot discriminate. So, yeah, okay, what you are saying?
Prabhuji, there are two words, independence and free will, there is a subtle difference. By nature,
yeah, subtle.
By nature we are all dependent. We are never independent, because for anything, Krishna has provided us so much, we are dependent on everything, even to breathe, even to, because we cannot claim anything as our own. So we are utterly dependent. We are not even an iota independent, in spite of having the free will. The free will and dependence is two different things.
Right. I agree what you are saying, that yes, we are dependent on everything, on Krishna, but still the free will is there. We may accept that, and that Krishna is the providing, that is a more and more Krishna consciousness. To use up the free will to understand the dependency on Krishna. That is what is where the surrender part comes. That avashya rakhebe Krishna, vishwasa palan. He is gopatratva varana, means he is our maintainer, protector, and he will definitely protect me. And that way we feel ourselves very low. Rakshasati is vishwasa, that we are anukulasya sankalpa pratikulasya varjanam rakshasati vishwaso gopatratve varnam tatha atma nikshepa karpanya, that we should completely, that we feel ourselves very low and we just fall down at the lotus feet of the Lord, that he will protect me. We unko hi pati ke roop mein varan karna, that he is my Lord and Master. And at one place he says, still whether he aslishyava padratam pinastvam, that whether he embraces me or not, it is, he is the Supreme Lord. He is completely independent and I am his surrendered soul, and whatever he keeps, I should be happy in his decisions. So that is true, that yes, Krishna is the only whole thing, not only breathing, but everything, every aspect of our life or material life or anything, it is dependent on Krishna. We have nothing to do, but still the free will, even if we are completely dependent, is there to use towards Krishna, thinking that he is the provider, he is the maintainer. That thought should always be there. And only in human life that we can understand that. So we should use it properly, this human life that has been given to us.
Beautiful. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandrat Pranam, Koti Koti Pranam to your Seva. This today's class is work for especially the Prabhuji is not devotee and Mataji is devotee. That time, how we have to behave with our Prabhuji. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, Dandrat Pranam, all Krishna Prabhupada and Gurudev.
Okay. So you wanted to understand, if the Mataji is a devotee and Prabhu is not a devotee, then how we should work out? Affectionately, gracefully trying our best. So Mataji should gracefully help in Krishna, by feeding Krishna conscious prasad, by affectionate words, by taking him to some time to temple or devotee or inviting devotees. The changes would happen. Even a stone hearted person would change, but sometimes there may be eating differences, there may be Prabhuji's may like to take onion garlic, or may like to eat outside in the restaurants, or may not like to go. So one has to tolerate also, to that somehow we both came together. So it is now the role to find out how best could we use the situation in a bad bargain, or whatever that situation may be. I only see example of in the Prabhupada's sister Pishima and her husband. Her husband used to still eat fish, and he would not go to Krishna conscious places, or she took initiation from Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj. He would not take initiation. But she served as a role as a wife, and she served her husband. She fulfilled whatever was needed to keep the family peaceful. But she, inside, nobody can check you from practicing Krishna consciousness. Inside, if you are Krishna conscious, you go on chanting inside. Who can stop you? Think of Krishna, and sometime by affection one can pursue him to go to Krishna conscious programs, or go to or read Srimad Bhagavatam, or at home, or have some katha. But it depends on how the situation is, how bad or good. If it is so much that it can, you can't do your Krishna consciousness, then it is possible, like Prahlad Maharaj gave up his father, that he just left his father, or woman could also leave her husband. If the situation is so troublesome that you can't practice, the purpose of the human life is to develop our Krishna consciousness. If it cannot be done in any way, if situation is so tense, but if it could be mitigated, one should try their best for many, many years and trying to see whether it can, you could change the mentality. It may be difficult. She used to cook fish, even Pishima I am talking about, for her husband. But she kept it all the pots separately.
Prabhuji, one more point I want to add here, that yes, it is very difficult for Mataji when Prabhuji is not difficult, but after eating Mahaprasad, It take not 1, 2, 3 years patience, but after 16, 17 years, they are now supporting us. They are allowed for yatra. They are allowed for house program, and this is specially mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Gurudev and Srila Radha Gopinath.
No, it's a very exemplary. What you said is very exemplary, and it's a nice. So one should, there was no this word or this thing in our Vaishnava culture. There was no such thing as separation or divorce. But now the things are so rapidly changing that those things have come. So we should see if it is changeable. We should try our best, but if one can tolerate for that many years, 16, 20 years are continued, that is fine. That is the best example. You are example for the society, example for a larger part, that they could take the example. But people would change because everybody is Krishna conscious. Somehow we are covered, somebody is covered more than other, and one should try their best.
Prabhuji, for that it depends for Vaishnavi that how sincerely she is worship Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani. Always Vaishnava prayers are working, and you have to sacrifice so many things after that, but it's working, Prabhu.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you for bringing that point out. Not only tolerance, but just thinking that Krishna has arranged, I have done something in my past life, something wrong, so I have to come across, because all these arrangements are according to our destiny, according to our karma. In previous life we have done something wrong, but now by association with devotees we have become Krishna conscious. So we continue that, but the destiny, you have to clear that. Just like Lord Ram and Sita remain separated. It's not because of destiny. But anyway, if, like Srimati Radhika ji and Krishna for 100 years, but she was always thinking, and even if they are separated, their thought would be more, so they would be more happy inside. Outside there may be difficulties, or there may be moroseness, or there may be cry, but inside they were happy because there is more connection in the mind with Krishna for Srimati Radhika ji. So in that way, and physically also, if one can continue by service, by sweetness, by seva bhav, or nice words, by respect, things can be changed. But it is up to the determination of the Mataji, how she acts, and always begging Krishna or praying to Krishna to change the mentality of the other spouse, and it will happen. So that is what our culture teaches us, that we should not think of separating or just 1 year, 2 year, and let me just give away. Then again you may be in the same situation. But also karma is also there in the way. Our past life, there may be some relationship in the past life. We might have done something wrong to other. Now we have to tolerate all that. So our karma would finish in that way also, we should tolerate. Like somebody becomes sick, and that may be from some previous sinful activity. So now by just suffering, then that much is cut off from our. But by practicing Krishna consciousness, many of our karmas, they get burned away. So both things should be continued, to accept karma and to also practice Krishna consciousness, so our karma does not come anyway, at least in the future lives.
Yes, Prabhuji, thank you very much. And we have to rememberize Kunti Maharani's example.
Right. Sure. She tolerated so many insults, so many things from her own, like Taujis or Duryodhans, how much atrocities on her children. But she tolerated all that and remained in her Krishna consciousness, accepting any difficulty that came. She never asked Krishna that, you are my nephew, and just give me opulence, or give me this, or give my children this place. Neither Pandavas ever complained. Although they are just playing the role to just teach us from their life. So they are Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam, all good to Prabhupada and Gurudev. Thank you very much for your wonderful exercise.
No, thank you. Thank you, Mataji.
Prabhuji, I have one question. You know, for a practicing devotee, whatever the residual effect of his previous karma, he utilizes them in Krishna's service. So every situation that happens, he sees only as mercy. He doesn't complain or lament why Krishna is doing this to me or anything. Rather, whatever the opportunity, whatever the situation, whether he's in the rail or in the jail, he sees Krishna is just acting to purify me because of his conscious to be devoted to Krishna. So it's an individual and personal awareness that since Krishna is in full control always, 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 whatever is happening to me, let me utilize the situation and circumstance to serve and remember and glorify Krishna. Because one devotee was sharing in India that for some implication wrongful, even when he went to jail, he was appreciating tremendously his time being in the jail where he had all the facility and the freedom to use his time for such wonderful realizations. So he was not complaining. So a devotee, if one wants to be, wants to call oneself a devotee, then it comes with a lot of responsibility of how we think, how we speak and how we act. So then we see that Krishna is a helping hand, even in the apparently dire or negative or opposite circumstances. For him, the residual effect of his time, of his karma becomes, he sees as mercy. So how one perceives it, how one reacts, that's where it matters. Not the external appearance of where one is situated.
Okay, well, no, thank you so much. Very wonderfully said. I appreciate.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hari Hari Bol, Dandavat Pranam.
Hari Bol, Dandavat Pranam. Okay, so we end our conference call now. Okay, so if there is no further discussion, our call would be ended. So you can mute or you could end up the recording also. Thanks, all the Vaishnavas. Thank you, Vanchak.